Now we're going to take the subject of the three levels of power, and we're going to apply it to your health, because this is where you're going to get maximum benefit out of it. It's one thing to shuffle around reality and think about power. It's another thing to get some practical use out of understanding what three levels of power mean in terms of your own biology. Let's start with jumping into the perception that we create our own reality. This is a perception that was dropped in to, let's use this term, the global brain in the 1960s, and it totally has turned the world upside down, at least the world of consciousness. It's a brand new thought. We create our own reality. You know, from that thought, enormous things have spun. Enormous things. Not the least of which has been the holistic health movement. It inspired this notion that if we create our own reality, what are we going to do with that thought form? It's like a brand new toy that we had to take around the planet. So we took it into our biology and thought, if we create our own reality, how can we take that thought and merge it with illnesses that we've never been able to influence before in a very different way? If we create our own reality, what does that mean? What is going on behind our eyes? What is this thing called consciousness? So we turned around and we began to look behind our eyes, and we began to plunge in to this warehouse of attitudes that we have, and this warehouse of memories, and this warehouse of belief patterns that we used to think were private, but they're not. Not only are they not private, they're not silent. They're incredibly loud and they're incredibly powerful. They're loud to your physical body. Not knowing what your beliefs are, or knowing what your beliefs are and not managing them well, particularly if they're negative, are going to have incredible consequences on your body, and indeed you're going to be influencing the health of your body. Now, what I've observed in my workshops and in my lectures is that when people hold on to this notion that we create reality, someday that's going to be 100% true, but it's not today. Today it's more of an inspiration, far more than it is a truth. And how you know that is this: how many of you can sit here this evening, and if I started to play the kind of music that most annoyed you, coupled with cooking something where its fragrance most offended you, and then I found out a whole lot of other things that drove you right up the wall, and I said, okay, now order yourself to tune out and meditate, how many of you would succeed? Squat, right? Now I want you to take a look at that, because what you're looking at is that in order for you to, quote, create your own reality, you have to have a whole lot of external dynamics in place before you can relax. That's not creating your reality. Creating your reality ought to be this: that no matter where I go, the outside doesn't have influence over me. It can't pull my power out of me. But the way we define it is, I create my own reality externally, and then that calms me internally, and it should be the other way around. You hear what I'm saying? It's got to be the reverse. You can't say, well, as soon as I get the world in order, then I'll create my internal reality. It's got to be exactly the opposite. It's the opposite dynamic we want. And that's where the journey begins. That's when you jump behind your eyes and you begin to say, how can I accomplish plugging into this extraordinary thought that I create reality, that I can influence what happens to my biological tissue, that I can have some kind of illness in my body, close my eyes, take a deep breath, and give a command that says, I want this cell tissue repaired. You know, years ago, I was doing a workshop in Denmark, and this was for 61 people with AIDS, 60 of whom smoked. Actually, it was like doing a workshop in an ashtray. The number of people, as I watched this audience and saw on their faces how much they wanted to heal, I knew the majority of them, if not all of them, weren't going to make it. And it wasn't from intuitive sight. It was simply watching the management of their power and how they manage their power. And I spotted this one woman. I continually refer to her as a girl because she was so tiny. But she was a woman. She was about this big, and her side was bashed in. And the reason her side was bashed in was because she had been beaten up. She was HIV positive and rapidly moving toward AIDS. And I was talking about just simply the physical things that you need to do to enhance your immune system. All right, and I talked about the need to quit smoking. During a break, she came up to me, and she said, "Oh, but Caroline, what if I only smoke 2 cigarettes a day?" And I looked at her, and I knew that if I had the cure for AIDS in my left hand, and a cigarette in my right, and I said to her, "Pick one," her mind would say, "Oh, I'll take the cure for AIDS." But all her energy, the circuits I talked to you about earlier, those 100 circuits of power, would wrap themselves around this cigarette. And that one cigarette would have the authority to call the shots on her immune system and determine the fact that she had chosen death over life. Now that's incredible, because you think, oh, the rational mind wouldn't do this. Nonsense. The rational mind has no authority over a disempowered being. Again, I'm going to return to this notion that we create our own reality. I've seen, and I've been around, people who really know how to do this. Oh, by the way, I'm not one of them. Okay, I'm in the observational mode here. But where I've witnessed this is very definitely within mystical traditions, within people who have worked at this for years, if not decades. And these are people who can focus their minds and can focus their spirits in such a way that they can close their eyes and talk to their body and give it a command that says, "Repair yourself. I want my power back." And the body responds, because the spirit responds, because the will is centered, because the heart is intact, the heart energy, because one's power is in one's body. How do you accomplish this? How do you do such a thing? And in fact, when you do it, can you apply this kind of power to the management of something other than your body? What about your environment? What about your finances? Yes, you can. How do you do it? First thing that you do is take a very strong look at your own definition of power, your absolute own definition of power. And then you transfer it over to your health, because that's the place where you want to understand it the most. When you look at illness as a matter of loss of power, it's going to make a lot more sense to you. It's totally going to make more sense to you. Now let's take a look, just so I can give you a profile of what this is. Every part of your body responds to a certain quality of power. Like this. When you have struggles over financial power, you're not going to hurt your elbow, and you're not going to give yourself an earache. What's going to happen is you're going to lose a lot of energy around your sexual organs, your hips, and your lower back. Those are the areas of your body that are vulnerable to issues of power. And when I say issues of power, I'm not referring to just the kind where you feel like you don't have enough money. I don't care. You can have as much money as Bill Gates, and this can be the part of your body that is, in fact, very sensitive to it. What if you had an issue with controlling people, as we brought up earlier? Okay, because I think that's a common thing. Control issues, again, cause you to lose power in, again, the abdominal part of your body, the colon area. Now, think about this. Have you ever been in a situation where you have literally been in a power play? And you've been in that power play long enough. I mean, the one I mentioned earlier was kind of a fun example, but let's say you're really in one. This is tight. You're at work and you're trying to fight for territory. The part of your body that's going to pay the price for that, if it goes too long, will be this part of your body, the colon area. The rest of your body will certainly take the effect, but the primary place of loss will be there. What about issues of responsibility? We all deal with issues of responsibility. The part of your body that absorbs those issues is the pancreas. The pancreas corresponds to what if you're struggling with responsibility issues in terms of the extremes. Now, I've got to emphasize something. It's got to be extreme. You either have an extreme sense of wanting no responsibility for yourself, or an extreme sense of wanting responsibility and feeling you're responsible for everybody. Extremes in this issue are going to cause the pancreas to become a little wavery. It can produce diabetes. It can produce hypoglycemia. But you will primarily affect the pancreas. But let me say, of course, there are other causes of illness. There's genetics, there's environmental. What I'm talking about now is when genetics are not involved and when environmental are not involved, what is involved? And even when genetics are involved, you still have a factor of consciousness. But when genetics are involved, even then, you have to look toward a factor of consciousness, because there's no such thing as any situation you're ever going to be in where consciousness is not a factor. So having said that, I want to talk to you about the many ways there are to lose power so you have a reference point in your mind in terms of when you're dealing with a tribal loss of power in your body, when you're dealing with an individual loss, and when you're operating through symbolic power. The way you can identify tribal power is that the sort of power in which a group has authority over you. What does that look like? It looks like you know what that feels like. The challenge is, can you challenge it? Let me tell you a story that illustrates exactly the dynamics of tribal power at its best. And keep in mind that one of the earmarks of tribal power is initiation. You can't get into a tribe without initiation. Remember that story about what the Marines put people through? Look at fraternities. Look at corporations. Every single group has its form of initiation to see if you'll come into the tribe and give some of your precious life circuits over to the tribe in order to allow the tribe to manage your life force. You know, if I snap my fingers, and you could see this energetically, you couldn't believe what we look like in tribal situations. But anyway, I stop at this 7-Eleven, and I walk in there. It's 11 o'clock at night. It's hot. I want an iced tea. I'm paying for it. I look over, and I see this girl. She's about 14, 15 years old, and she has those rings in her nose. And I said, why'd you do that to yourself? And she looked at me, and she didn't expect anyone to say anything. She said, and I said, I asked you a question. I want an answer. Why'd you do that to yourself? And she looked at me, and of course, you know, I flipped her around. I said, I'm a teacher. Stand up to me and answer that question. And she said, because I like it. I said, you like this? Why do you like this? I said, you have parents? Do they like you? Right? And so she points to this other person. He's sweeping the floor. He's got a bullet here, a couple things here. And I said, why did you do that to yourself? And he's just standing there, and I got the two of them standing there. I turned to pay for my iced tea, and this guy looks at me. His baseball cap's on backwards. His hair's coming through the top of his head. He's got earrings everywhere, and he says to me, are you from another planet? Right. Anyway, next thing you know, I'm outside with a whole group of them, and they're standing in front of me, and I said, well, would you guys explain to me why you're doing this? Now, remember, they're a tribe, and they have to do something cocky to see whether or not I can handle their tribal energy. So they throw me a funny answer, and this tribal leader, you can see which one was the tribal leader, he comes forward and he says, we did it, I did it, because I had a plastic duck in my bathroom. Now, if I had said, and walked away, but I didn't, I said, yeah, I understand that, I've seen ducks like that. The next thing you know, I'm in the tribe. And they were telling me about why they did it, and this, that, and the other, and I told them there were cultures that would ornament their body this way for spiritual reasons, to which this kid said, we don't believe in religion. And I said, I didn't say religion, I said spirituality. And he says, well, we don't believe in that. I said, you would if I taught you. And then I watched them change into, as if they said, give us that power. I saw it in their faces. It was incredible. So that's how you know that nature of tribal power. You can feel that in yourself. You can feel that level of tribal authority, and you can feel when you're losing it, and you feel when you want it. Let's move on into what is individual power. How do you know when you are operating from that schemata within yourself? You know when the tribes have power over you. How do you know when it's your time to take it back? You know because your group life becomes unsettled. You know because you don't fit in anymore. You know because you feel so dissatisfied at that level of life, you can't seem to move on, and you have to move on with yourself. And then you take on spiritual problems. For what reason was I born? What am I doing here? Your questions get more sophisticated, and the only way you can begin to resolve them is to hit the high altitude spiritually. You need a more sophisticated way of thinking. But here comes the challenge. How do you make that maneuvering into health? How do you maneuver into that quality of power so you can make contact with it? The strongest and most dynamic way of getting your power out of tribal energy and into yourself and empowering yourself is to get your energy in present time. Is absolutely to focus all of your power as much as you can, as fast as you can, as deeply as you can into present time. How do you do that? You do this. You stand inside of yourself as though you were fully an individual. You look back on your childhood, and you identify all the power you have going into your past, and any single place that you're still holding on to, will be, I promise you, someplace you have to forgive. And then you get on with the business of forgiveness. You won't like it. Nobody ever likes to forgive. It's just one of those things. It's like medicine. But you have to take it. You have to do it. And every time you do it, you find yourself pulling yourself back into present time. It's not easy to do this, but it is the way of empowering. It is the way where you feel that level of tribal authority sort of detaching from you. And that level of strength coming into you that says, I can choose what I want to believe in. Nobody determines that. I can choose what I'm attached to. Nobody determines that. I can choose what kind of power I want to interact with in this life. Nobody determines that. Let me give you two stories that reflect exactly the subject that we're dealing with. One, it's the story of this woman. I did a reading on her. She had a very damaged leg, and yet she exhibited a lot of pain in her leg, but there was no known illness to it. She began to get more and more weak and unable to move. By the time I got my hands on her, I'm scanning her, and I couldn't find a physical illness, but I sure found an emotional one. And that's that she had just parted in a relationship with this man, and she did not want to break it off with him. And so I said, this whole dysfunction has to do with the ending of this relationship. It does not. I said, yes, it does, and I want you to think about this. And I walked her through the fact that as soon as this man parted, that this pain began, but I kept getting the impression that there was a severe inadequacy between the two of them and that it was on her part. And I said, you know, did you feel an inadequacy, perhaps sexually, perhaps? I did not. Okay. I did not. You know, now, is that a tone you believe? Okay. But she eventually said that her challenge with him was that he wanted to marry a very wealthy woman, and she wasn't that. And so because he didn't want to work. I like this kind of situation. You know, it's got a nice ring to it. But anyway, she began to feel very helpless, very weak. She couldn't work. She couldn't make a marriage work with him, make a partnership work with him. And he began to pull away, and instantly she got crippled. You couldn't see it, but she did. And what would he do? He'd come and visit her every day, make sure she had food, did this. Do you think she had any reason to heal? She gave him all of her power. And I said, what are you going to do about this? I said, I'll tell you one thing you can do. Move out of the place. Don't see him again. Go live with somebody. Go live with a friend. Go live with a family member. But cut that off and get your power back. I can't do that. I said, well, what else are you going to do? I'll go to a different doctor. You think that's going to help? No. I said, do you want to heal? No, because I won't see him. And this is how the dynamic went. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen situations like that. But let me give you the other side of it. I was involved with a man. I don't mean involved. I mean, I had to do a reading with this man. I was involved as an intuitive. When I did this reading, I was dealing with someone who had a terrible heart condition. I mean, he really was struggling. And as I read his energy, I said to him, I'm reading two different people simultaneously. There's a person you are and the person you want to be. I said, what's going on here? I said, have you been having dreams and desires to follow your heart? And I said, live a totally different kind of life. And he was someone who was a very responsible man, a very kind man, was a family man, but he most definitely wanted a very different life for himself. He had images of himself living in Montana, living in a wonderful little ranch houses, living a very different kind of life. You know, he was in a real struggle with this. And I said, you know, how much do you want to heal? I mean, how much do you really want to heal? Do you just want to settle your heart, or do you really want to get healthy, down to a healthy life? What kind of power do you really want? And he said, I want all the power I can get in the right way. Because what I was asking him is, do you want external power in medicine or do you want internal? Which one do you want? And he said, give me the internal. And I said, well, then you need to pay attention to what is obvious. A path is opening to you and you have to follow your heart. He did. And his health totally recovered. It recovered in a beautiful way. He got his power back. Now, these two stories, I think, are worth keeping in mind because they fully illustrate the difference between releasing tribal power and not being able to empower yourself individually, or being able to do that and getting your entire physical power and emotional power and spiritual power back. Now that you've got your power back, what are you going to do with it? How do you maintain it? How will it change your life in terms of focusing your attention on it? Now I want to talk to you about the three levels of power and how you apply it to the dynamic of choice, because this is where you're going to find it particularly useful. Certainly I do. Remember that choice is a power that lies in your fifth center. Why? Because this is your willpower. And when you make a choice, what you're actually doing, and I want to remind you of that, is that you're releasing your power to a target. That target can be a person. That target can be a thought. That target can be an attitude. It can be a memory. But what you're actually doing is you're releasing your power to a target, and you're merging it with that energy, that perception. You have to learn to be conscious of that, because you don't even realize how much, in so many ways, you give your power away in an ordinary day. First thing you want to be conscious of is to take conscious action when you're making choices. Review every choice you're going to make, at least in the beginning. Pay attention. Do I really want to choose this? Do I really want to send my power into that? Do I really want to lose my temper over this? Is this worth it? And put it in the right perspective. If I make this choice, it's going to cost me cell tissue. Now, you put the consequence of that against the choice you're making, and you think to yourself, if I lose my energy, my temper, over not getting a parking space, it might cost me 2,000, 5,000, 10,000 cell tissues. You want that? Put it in that perspective, because that's really what you're dealing with. You got to learn to hold the attitude that that's not a big enough problem for me to lose my power over. I'm not doing that. You know, and that in and of itself draws more and more power to you. Second thing you want to do is become incredibly, incredibly aware of the wise investment of your power on an everyday basis. Wise investment of power means what is going to bring back the greatest returns into your energy system, and not only that, into your life, into your ability to be creative. Remember, power finances your creativity. Not only that, I want you to hold something in your mind. If you have a creative idea, a wonderfully creative idea, all of a sudden you're sitting around and you think to yourself, I'd like to start this business. Remember, businesses, creativity requires energy, requires power. You can have a million ideas. You don't have the power, it's useless. You can have one good idea. If you've got the power, you can create anything. So remember, pay attention to those mathematics. This is what you want to invest your power in. One is honor. You want to invest your power in your own personal sense of honor. I can't begin to tell you how important honor is in terms of the overall energy of your life and in your body. One of the things I learned when I was writing anatomy is that without a sense of honor, the body's going to find it a real challenge to heal. The second thing, invest your energy, invest your power in the learning and practicing forgiveness. This is one of the richest gifts you can give yourself. Forgiveness, quite frankly, is the most selfish thing you can do, because it's the greatest thing you can do for yourself. The third, invest your energy, invest your power in faith. Life needs faith. You can't live without faith, because life is a mystery, and it will always be a mystery. Don't invest your energy in solving your mysteries. Invest it in learning to roll with your mysteries, because you will never solve your mysteries. It's as simple as that. Give it up. Done. Pull your energy out of that and move into, I'm never going to solve this, show me how to live with it. That's how you invest it. Give up the need to know why things happen as they do. Invest your energy in positive attitudes. Pay attention to how you are thinking, how you are feeling, how you look at life. Invest it in an appreciation for your own life, an appreciation for the fact that you are alive. How many times have you walked down the street and just said to yourself, I like my life. This isn't bad. So you've had a bad day in earth school. So what? Okay? Invest your energy in trying to stay above things. I want to share a story with you. Maybe it's my favorite story of all my entire professional career, because I personally have found it to be the most inspiring. I had a woman when I was in England, one of my workshops, and she tells me the story and told me the story, and I wanted her to tell me the story again and again. She was in a car accident. She had a near-death experience. She was smashed. And in that car accident, she found herself hovering over her car, looking at her smashed body and her destroyed car all over the street. And in that state, she could actually hear the responses of the people in the cars behind her. And she could hear the people saying, this is just what I need, a car accident. I'll never get out of here. Nah, 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 nah. I'm going to be late for work. I need this whip, this kind of wretched response, right? But from this fifth car, she's looking at this, and this light shoots out of the car, shoots back down into her body. And she's observing this, and she thinks to herself, I wonder what's going on there. Boom, instantly she's in the car. And she's sitting next to this woman who's praying for her. She doesn't know who this woman is. And she's listening to this woman sending her prayers, saying, God help this person. I don't know who she is, but she needs prayers. God help this person. Remember what I told you earlier, the seventh center is your grace bank account. What she was saying is, if I have anything left, if I have anything there, give it to her. She needs it more than me. This woman, in her out-of-body, near-death state, looks at this woman with such gratitude. And then she hears this voice that says, come on, we have to take you back into your body. It's not your time. Before she goes back into her body, she gets the license plate number. After she recovers from her accident, she looks this woman up, and she shows up on her front porch with a bouquet of flowers and says, thank you for the prayers when I needed them most. Thank you for the power you gave me to come back to my life. I'm going to leave you with the thought that power you have inside of you, inside of your spirit, is in fact the power of creation itself. When you think of being alive, when you think of your life, think of that power. Become conscious. Learn to use it wisely. Not just for your own body and for your own sake, but bear in mind it's probably the greatest gift we can give each other. Thank you.